Log.
There may be trouble ahead, but while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Before the fiddlers have fled, before they ask us to pay the bill, and while we still have the chance, let's face the music and dance. Soon we'll be without the moon, humming a different tune, and then there may be teardrops to shed. So while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Let's face the music and dance. The moon humming a different tune, and then there may be teardrops to shed. So while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Let's face the music and dance.
Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. Well, it looks like the hurricane has gone through New York, and we didn't do too bad, and that's great. And, you know, one thing that was interesting, watching this hurricane come up all the way from the Caribbean, and we had relatives that just went to Key West for a vacation, and I was teasing one of them and saying, what did you do? You went down to Key West to meet the hurricane? And then they got back up here, and the hurricane was coming our way again. So, and then we had relatives down in Ocean City, and they had to bail out. And we were on the 10th floor down in Ocean City, right on the ocean, in a nice condo. A unit, and as we were leaving, and we left Thursday. We left Thursday. The girl was checking to see if the people had brought their furniture in off the balcony, and she said to me, "We were on the 10th floor." She said, "Did you bring your furniture in?" I said, "No, I just threw it over the balcony." But of course, I didn't do that. I just gave her a little excitement. But anyway. And I had one situation down there that really got my Irish up, and I haven't had my blood pressure boil that much in probably 8 years. I got on the elevator, and there were two couples on the elevator in their 50s, late 50s, two burly guys, and one guy gave me a greeting. He said, "Hello." And I said, "How you doing?" And he turned to his friends and he goes, "How you doing? How you doing?" And then he started to do his Brooklyn accent, making fun of mine. And it ticked me off. And I'll tell you what ticked me off. And not the fact that he made fun of my Southern Staten Island accent, but the fact that he suckered me in with a greeting, a friendly greeting. And I hate guys like that who set you up politely and then they stick the knife in you. as he was getting off the elevator, I said to him, adios. Other than that, I couldn't say. There was another word that goes with that, adios. It's a racial joke. But I couldn't say it because I'm a gentleman. I'm a northern gentleman. Anyway, we're watching this hurricane, and I'm watching a Mayor Bloomingdale, and he's allaying everybody's fears, and he beat Obama on press conferences this week, and I flash back to what's coming up on 9/11, and I just watched a National Geographic recap on 9/11 and how these guys were here on Clinton's watch and taking plane lessons, and Clinton has opened the doors of the country for them to come in and kill us. And I call those towers the Clinton Towers. Bush got left holding the bag, no doubt about it. And Bush was also told that they were a possible threat, and he played it down just like Clinton did. And I think that Bush thought when he became president that he was going to have a good old time, just like President Pinocchio Pants had. But if President Pinocchio Pants had been doing his due diligence, there'd be at least 10,000 Americans alive today that have given up their lives in the war on terror. There's 3,200 Americans that were butchered on 9/11, and then you can add all the troops that have been lost in combat. And speaking of troops that are lost in combat, I do not buy the SEAL Team Lucky Grenade Launcher explanation. I don't buy it. We were betrayed. The Pakis got us back because we embarrassed the Pakis who were protecting bin Laden. And somebody sunk that helicopter. And that loose lip of information was picked up by a Paki, and he relayed it to Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. And they were waiting for that chopper. That's my personal opinion, and I don't see anybody doing any research about the actual events. All I see is more CYA people. I have never seen so many people with their bullshit excuses all ready to go in the event that something bad happens. They got all rehearsed answers. It is sickening. And 9/11 could have been avoided. And everybody dropped the ball on 9/11. There isn't an agency that could come up clean. Do you want me to give you the review? How about two fighter jets scrambled out of Washington, D.C. with no weapons to go to New York, and they ended up out over the ocean waiting for orders? How's that? Do you know what? Do you know how many generals are sitting around in foreign countries that hate us, watching the reviews of 9/11 saying, imagine if we had taken the shot, we could have got them all. And that hurricane reminded me of it. That hurricane came up the East Coast. And what did they say? 20% of the population of the United States was under its influence? Suppose that had been a nuclear attack. We better wake up and get stronger. And never forget what George Washington said. In times of peace, prepare for war. And truer words were never spoken. And if you don't believe me, ask the American basketball team how they felt getting slapped around in China. So hang in there, and I'll cheer you up with a southern tune.
I've been away from you a long time. I never thought I'd miss you so. Somehow I feel your love is real. Near you I want to be. The birds are singing in a song time. The band is running soft and low. I know that you yearn for me too. Swanee, you're calling me. How I love you, my dear old Swanee. I give the world to be among the folks here. I even know my mammy waiting for me, praying for me down by the Suwannee. The folks up north will see me no more when I get to that Suwannee shore. I even know my mammy waiting for me, praying for me down by the Suwannee. The folks up north will see me no more when I get to that Suwannee. So
you know, there's a saying that everybody is bigger and everything is bigger in Texas. And there's a story about a guy that went into a bar in Texas, and he had to climb up on the stool because everything is bigger in Texas. And he got a beer, and they give him like a 3 foot a beer. And he's sitting there, and he throws one down, he throws the second one down. He goes, "Where's the bathroom?" And the bartender says to him, "You go down the end of the hall, and you make a left. And the bathroom's right there." So he goes down the end of the hall, he makes a right, and he goes into the swimming pool area. And the swimming pool is empty. So he thinks it's the bathroom because everything's bigger in Texas. And he walks into the pool, and he goes all the way down to the deep end, the empty deep end, and he's up against the wall, and he's relieving himself. And a guy comes by and goes, "What the hell are you doing?" And he shouts, "Don't flush! Don't flush!" Anyway, we were talking about the mayor, Mohammed of Bloomingdale. And Mayor Mohammed of Bloomingdale has issued a writ that there'll be no clergy at the 911 ceremony because he doesn't want to play favorites. Well, I say let's play percentages. If 70% of the victims were Christian, then let a Christian minister or priest have 70% of the eulogy. And if one guy was a golden calf worshiper, then give him 6 seconds, the usual 6 seconds. But no, Mayor Bloomingdale, I call him Mohammed of Bloomingdale, because it was his community board that he appointed that approved the Jihad Victory Mosque across the street, within spit-on distance of the World Trade Center, or as I call it, holy ground. The only good thing that came out of the deal was that the construction workers built and dedicated a pee kiosk across the street to Mohammed of Bloomingdale. And it is really sad that the people who were victims, I got to tell you, there are 910 New Yorkers and there are 911 New Yorkers. Okay? And how can you tell the difference? The 910 New Yorkers whine so much that you could bottle it. And 911 New Yorkers, they are all action men and say very little. And we don't forget nothing. I have a challenge coin. On one side of the challenge coin is the Spirit of America Party and God We Trust with an American eagle on a U.S. flag. And on the back of the coin are the two World Trade Center towers on fire being hit by the second plane. And on the top of the coin, it says, 911, we forget nothing. And we haven't paid them back yet. Don't buy that crap. This thing is not over. This is a 50-year war, and we haven't paid them back at all. We haven't paid them back at all. Admiral Yamamoto was shot out of the sky 2 years after Pearl Harbor. And then, of course, two nuclear bombs settled the war. And when somebody tells you that we should never have done the nuclear bombs, that's because they didn't have to go and fight at Iwo Jima. Because if they had to go and fight at Iwo Jima, they would have called for 3 nuclear bombs. But there's an old saying, if all around you, if you can be cool, calm, and collected when all around you are excited and mad, you obviously don't understand the situation. So there we have it. And, of course, Obama was in Nantucket, and I sent him a message. And I said, do you know that your Department of Justice is running guns into Mexico and is responsible for the death of 40,000 Mexicans? And that it was under your orders that dealers were told to sell arms to Mexican drug lords. And now you want to take away their Second Amendment rights. What is that, a setup? And then I said, do you realize that you have killed more Americans in Afghanistan in 2.5 years than Bush did in 8? Bush had 461 KIAs on his watch. Obama is over 1,500 in 2.5 years, plus a SEAL Team 6. And you don't see anything in the press about it. Nothing at all. Nothing in the communist press. And the reason that we're losing in elections is because the communist press has completely brainwashed 51% of the population. And until we can fight a toe-to-toe with this communist press, we're going to lose the next election. Because the people that need to be informed are being lied to, and they have no real information. And we've got to change that. And one of the ways to change that is we should all chip in a buck apiece and buy New York One and put an American flag on it for the first time since it was opened. And throw half of the people out of there that are telling lies. And NBC, forget about it. And I'll also tell you this. The most dangerous man in America is not George Soros. He is the second most dangerous man in America. The most dangerous, traitorous man in America is Jeffrey Immelt. Jeffrey Immelt is a national catastrophe. He is a Quisling. He is the Vilquin Quisling of GE. And he is going to give weapons to GE from GE to China. He's starting off with passenger car planes, and he's going to be providing the jet engines for the Chinese Air Force. Jeffrey Immelt is a bigger threat to America than the Chinese military. And in another world, he wouldn't be allowed to exist and sit on the board of directors with Obama bin Laden. So here's a little tribute tune. I'm dedicating this to Mohammed Bloomingdale. And may it rub off. Well, by the way, you know he has to stand on a box at the podium. Did you know that? I was hoping that the orange crate slats would collapse. And he couldn't reach the microphone. He had to pull it closer to him with his tongue. to see some construction worker hide up there on the, up about the 70th floor of the new replacement World Trade Center. Now, were they going to call it the Freedom Tower or something? Yeah, we all got freedom. And I'd love to see him stay up there overnight. And then when Bloomingdale is having his big mouth ceremony and praising all the people that don't count, this guy unfurled a big cross on a sheet. And watch, and then pan and see who shouts the command. Get that, bring that down, get that man, find out who that is. And then watch all the Quislings jumping up and down, trying to put a stopper to Christianity. What a shame, what a shame. And I know one guy that had to go to, had to give the eulogy at 30 funerals. One fireman. One captain. How's that? Right? And here's Mayor Bloomingdale telling us we all have to live together, but we can't practice our religion. Yeah. Rather burn in hell, Bloomingdale. And take Joe Liverwish with you. Joe Liverwish, he's promoting his book, and everybody's giving him a pass. Joe Liverwish, the senator from Connecticut, who used to be Democratic, but now he's independent. Yeah. Yeah, give me a break. Give me a break. Yeah, that's like saying Hitler used to be a Nazi, but now he's a compassionate conservative. Joe Liverwish is one of 40 Democrat senators who 40 days before 9/11 voted to burn the American flag. Oh, they didn't call it voting to burn the American flag. They called it a freedom of speech. Freedom of speech, and you can torch Old Glory because we are a compassionate a country. You know what? I'd love for everybody who voted to burn that flag to meet all the boys who died at Gettysburg in a free-for-all. Yeah, bunch of lying bastards, hypocrites. Yeah, their symbol should be the hippopotamus because they're hypocritical. A bunch of dirty animals. So Joe Liverwish is telling everybody he's a very religious Jewish guy, and but he also votes to kill kids. Now I don't know, but I seem to recall a Bible story where God ordered a father to abort his son, and then at the last minute, God spared the son. You know, I mean, don't we live by example here? Do actions speak louder than words? Lying words. So Joe is passing himself off as Orthodox. If Joe Liverwurst is Orthodox, Moses was an Apache. Unbelievable. Absolutely sick. Anyway, let me give you another tune. Let me see if I can catch this one. And then I'll tell you the story about it, if it's the one I think it is. We'll be right back. where the tune Dixie has been banned. Did you hear about the Mennonite College, I think it's in Indiana, that banned the Star Spangled Banner because it's too violent? Too violent. Oh, the rocket's red glare. Oh, yeah. Well, I guess fireworks are too violent, too, huh? The bombs bursting in air. Well, it gave proof through the night that we still had a country. Huh? Francis Scott Key, what was he, a prisoner on a British a warship? And he penned the poem? Yeah. Too violent. So they're going to play the theme from Star Wars. Sick nation, man. Sick. We got a lot of sick people, and good is outnumbered by evil, 51-49, and that's how Obama got elected. He was elected by evil people. Demo camos, I call them, and the uninformed. And the uninformed, you know, they used to say in the military, there's always 10% that never gets the word. Well, in the USA today, it's probably closer to 40. People have no idea. Have no idea. Remember Ilian Gonzalez, kidnapped on Holy Saturday by the Clinton administration? Huh? And did you see how the media worked up all of the people in the nation to hate Cubans? They turned Puerto Ricans against Cubans. They turned Haitians against Cubans. They told the Puerto Ricans and the Haitians that the Cubans were getting special privileges, like once they touched, put their feet on American soil, they were automatic receivers of amnesty. That was the deal that was made with the Cuban people because we betrayed them at the Bay of Kennedys. We sold them out. We're a great sellout nation. If you don't believe me, ask Taiwan what's happening. They were supposed to get 67 fighter jets. Ask England what's happening. Obama gave Trident missile registration numbers of the British Navy to Vladimir Rasputin. How's that? Huh? And you notice our president has a Connecticut Social Security number that belongs to a guy who got it in 18 and who was born in 1897. But you can't see his Social Security number records at any college that he went to because those records are sealed. As a matter of fact, they're probably up in the Pribilof Islands with elephant seals being sat on. What a joke. We got a president that's not even an American citizen. And you know what? You know what the demo camos are saying? So what? That's what they're really saying. Anytime they lose an argument and they're proven guilty, they say, so what? And speaking of proven guilty, my hero, and he should be on Mount Rushmore, Harry Truman. He was the last real man in the White House. Harry Truman. A fine gentleman, a real American. You know, he kissed the Bible when he was sworn in. Do you know when he left Washington, him and his wife, they drove back to Missouri in their own car. He had a military pension of $13,000 a year. That's all he had. Do you know when he was campaigning for the presidency, he was on a train, he did whistle stops. And halfway through his campaign, he ran out of train money, and the train stopped. They put him on COD, and they wouldn't move the train till he got more money. Do you know, in order to pay off his house, he had to write a book? You see, these bastards, they have people writing books for them, and then they tell you they wrote them. PT-109. We've been had, man. We've been suckered. President Pinocchio Pants is worth $170 million and he only had a government service job. Now, you don't think that money changed hands when Ilian Gonzalez was returned back to the motherland, do you? Does it have to be money, or could it be favors? Could it be deals that come down the road after you're out of office? Huh? Who's dirty? They're all dirty. And that's what Harry Truman said. when they call the roll in Congress, they don't know whether to answer present or not guilty. Harry also said, if you want a friend in Washington, get a dog, because everybody else will betray you. It is really sad, really sad. So, having said that, let me give you another tune. This is a tribute to those who never question why their duty is to do or die. U.S. Marine Corps Band. That was pretty nice. I got a speech from Patton that I did once, about 10, 12 minutes. Let me see if I can find it for you. And it's a little rough, but I'm reading from Patton's own speech. So, and things don't change that much. And the one thing that impressed me about Patton's speech is the fact that he says at the beginning of his speech, twice the United States has come back from first strikes, but he doubts if we'll be able to come back from the third one. And all you draft dodgers out there, you don't have to worry about the draft coming back, because the next war is going to be fought on your front steps, and you'll probably get a phone call saying, welcome to the military and your uniform's on the way, UPS. Yeah, because the next one's going to be fast and furious. You've seen this hurricane, you ain't seen nothing like a nuclear attack. And let me tell you, the first country that thinks they can take us, they're coming.
Hi, you boys and girls, it's Captain Boycott. I found this on the internet and I thought I'd share it with you. And then I'll tell you who wrote it. Twice in my lifetime, America, the arsenal of democracy, has come from behind to ensure victory. It is not evident that should another war arise, those producing it will make every effort to see that the arsenal of democracy is knocked out in the first round. How this can be done, I do not know. But I do know that the progress made in airplanes and self-propelled missiles is such that the possibility of an early knockout cannot be discounted. Perhaps a good illustration of what I am trying to put across to you is this. When I went to school, and I presume that is the same now, all of the children were taught how to form in column and march out of the building in an orderly manner in case of fire. This instruction did not, so far as I know, produce fires, but when fire occurred, the lives of the majority of children were saved. If we go to the extreme of saying that preparedness produces wars, then the instruction in fire drills would produce fires. Therefore, we should not teach children that a fire may come, that the building may burn, and as a result of such teaching, have the sad duty of removing the charred little bodies from the ruined schoolhouse. You men are all American citizens, and in your generation, you will have a very large voice in determining the election of our public servants and the enforcement of our laws. I am sure that you have found out that discipline, self-reliance, mutual respect, and faith are necessary in the Army. Those traits are just as necessary in civilian life. Laws which are not enforced had better not be promulgated. Referring again to the fire department aspect of the prevention of war, a very large proportion of the duties of the fire departments in large cities is not the extinguishing of fires, but their prevention through advice and supervision. You men are all potential firemen. You have put out the fire by your heroic efforts. It is now your duty as citizens to see that other fires do not occur, and that you and your children are not again called upon to extinguish them. I have been speaking to you not as your commanding general, but rather as an old man to young men. I am in no way trying to propagandize you, but as I said before, it is my considered opinion that my duty demands that I should explain to you things as I see them. Let me say that it is my profound hope that we shall never again be engaged in war, but also let me remind you of the words attributed to George Washington: in time of peace, prepare for war. That advice is still good. I am firmly convinced that we must have universal training, because the one hope for a peaceful world is a powerful America, with the adequate means of instantly checking aggressors. Unless we are so armed and prepared, the next war will probably destroy us. No one who has lived in a destroyed country can view such a possibility with anything except horror. Man is war, war is conflict, fighting is an elemental exposition of the age-old effort to survive. If we again believe that wars are over, we will surely have another, and damned quick. We had better look out for ourselves and make the rest of the world look out for themselves. If we attempt to feed the world, we will starve and perhaps destroy America. Roman civilization fell due to the loss of the will to conquer, satisfaction with the status quo and high taxes, which destroyed trade and private enterprise. These conditions eventually forced people out of the cities. The cycle is returning. It is very easy for ignorant people to think that success in war may be gained by the use of some wonderful invention like the atomic bomb, rather than by hard fighting and superior leadership. There are a host of people who have to squat to piss, who will say that this will be the last war, and that from now on we will only need world clubs. They are the ones who will be responsible for the deaths of millions of people. The pacifists are always at it. I met a visiting fireman of supposedly great eminence who told me that this was to be the last war. I told him that statements since 2600 B.C. had signed such statements. Since 2600 B.C. had signed the death warrants of millions of young men. He replied with the stock lie, "Oh, but things are different now. My God, will they never learn?" There are all kinds of low-class slime who are trying and will continue to try to wreck this country from the inside. Most of them don't know it, but they're actually working for the Russians. Some of them do know it, though, and it doesn't matter whether they call themselves communists, socialists, or just plain foolish liberals. They are destroying this country. Politicians are the lowest form of life on earth. Liberal Democrats are the lowest form of politicians. I really shudder for the future of our country. Someone must not only win the war, but also the peace. I believe that Germany should not be destroyed, but rather should be rebuilt as a buffer against the real danger, which is Russia and its Bolshevism. The difficulty in understanding the Russian is that we do not take cognizance of the fact that he is not a European, but an Asiatic, and therefore thinks deviously. We can no more understand a Russian than a Chinese or a Japanese, and from what I have seen of them, I have no particular desire to understand them, except to ascertain how much lead or iron it takes to kill them. In addition to his other amiable characteristics, the Russian has no regard for human life, and they are all out sons of bitches, barbarians, and chronic drunks. Russia knows what she wants, world domination, and she is laying her plans accordingly. We, on the other hand, in England and France, to a lesser extent, don't know what we want. We get less than nothing as a result. If we have to fight them, now is the time. From now on, we will get weaker and they will get stronger. Let's keep our boots polished, bayonets sharpened, and present a picture of force and strength to the Russians. This is the only language that they understand and respect. If we fail to do this, then I would like to say we have had victory over the Germans and have disarmed them, but we have lost the war. The one thing that I could not say and cannot yet say publicly is that my chief interest in establishing order in Germany was to prevent Germany from going communist. I am afraid that our foolish and utterly stupid policy in regard to Germany will certainly cause them to join the Russians and thereby ensure a communistic state throughout Western Europe. We have destroyed what could have been a good race of people, and we are about to replace them with Mongolian savages and all of Europe with communism. Poland is under Russian domination, so is Hungary, so is Czechoslovakia, and so is Yugoslavia, and we sit happily by and think that everybody loves us. It seems to me that Russia has a certain sphere of influence in Korea, Manchuria, and Mongolia. We promised the Europeans freedom. It would be worse than dishonorable not to see that they have it. And that's, I left that, and that's where I finished up. But you know what? You listen to what Patton says, and the enemy is only slightly different. And the day will come when the draft will have to come back if we have time to assemble. And I do believe his philosophy is right about the next great hit. And I think that when you look at 9-1-1, that was only two planes and that was only two buildings in one city. And God help us if that's 1,000 planes and 1,000 buildings and 100 cities. And anybody who thinks that they're immune because they don't live in New York City is also being very foolish. Talk to you, boys and girls.
Dedicate this next tune to Obama bin Laden, the illegal alien from another planet.
The party's over. It's time to call it a day. They burst your pretty balloon and taken the moon away. It's time to wind up the masquerade. Just make your mind up. The piper must be paid. The party's over. The candles flicker and dim. You danced and dreamed through the night. It seemed to be right just being with him. Now you must wake up. All dreams must end. Take off your makeup. The party is over. It's all over, my friend. The party's over. It's time to call it a day. Now you must wake up. All dreams must
take off your makeup. The party's over. It's all over, my friend. It's all over, my friend.
I got to tell you that the Tea Party is the salvation of this country, but they're not strong enough. They've got to double in size within the next 60 days, and then they have to double in size again within the next 90 days thereafter. They're being labeled as racist, rednecks, and that's the way the Party of Death works, the Demo Camos. They always accuse and label and smear good people. If you're a pretty Republican woman, you're going to be labeled a trollop by the Party of Trollops. Yeah, it's really sick, man. It's really sick. And they're buying the votes. And you know what they say about loyalty? Loyalty is 10%. And if you can't match what they're paying, you're going to have a hell of a time of winning over the hearts and minds of people that are on the dole. on the Democrat dole. And they're going to look at you as a threat to their gravy train. And that's the way the Democamos have infiltrated the nation with corruption. And it's really sad. Absolutely sad. And here's a lesson that I've learned this week, and it's really scary. I know a couple who are good Christian people. They raised three children. They slaved to give them a college education. I mean, they slaved to give them a college education. They used to clean houses so their kids could go to college. And one kid owns three houses today, and his parents are driving around in a 16-year-old vehicle, which just broke down during this hurricane. Now, something's not right. So be careful when you pay for your kids' college tuition. Make sure you leave a little bit for yourself, because you may be a victim of one-sided charity. Let me exit with a tribute to Celia Cruz, great Latino lady, and we'll overrun our time.
Cantar para mí es como ser dueña del universo, poder expresar con mi voz lo que llevo por dentro, hacerles a ustedes sentir sensaciones grandiosas. Quien tiene notas conjugar cantando muchas cosas. Y cuando la magia de algún son invade poco a poco el corazón, me envuelvo con su ritmo sabroso y el sentimiento. Siento los cueros repicar y mi cuerpo no deja de bailar, dejándome llevar por el compás.
Lo hice.